Well, you can't say you weren't warned. £200 million to be cut from public spending, and it seems decisions are going to have to be made very, very quickly indeed. The Belfast Telegraph are saying Northern Ireland told to make 6% cuts tomorrow or the Treasury will stand in, will step in. We'll speak to Liam Clark in just a second from the Belfast Telegraph. This could mean job losses for quite a few of you listening to this programme this morning. And what will it mean for frontline services, for our hospitals, for our roads, for the police service and for schools? If you think, and I've been banging on about this to you for many, many years, if you think politics, if you think Stormont, you don't want to engage with it, you think it's boring, you say to yourself, you don't engage with the news, you don't engage with politics, you don't care about politicians, here's how they are now affecting your lives. Stand by for the job cuts. Stand by for the massive retraction of public services in Northern Ireland if this happens. This is big stuff this morning. Sammy Wilson from the DUP with us today. Good morning to you, Sammy.
Morning, Stephen.
So Liam Clark has this exclusive on the Belfast Telegraph. We'll speak to him in a second. He is saying if 6% cuts are not found tomorrow, the Treasury will step in. What's your understanding?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen, let's first of all put this in some context. This is £200 million out of a total budget of £12,000 million. So, I mean, let's get it in some kind of context, first of all. However, it's come at after the middle of the financial year, so there's not as much time to make the adjustments. We've had similar situations like this before. At the beginning of this budget period, don't forget, the government took the money which we had set aside, £370 million, and then give us, on top of that, £125 million cut in this in about the same time of the year, and we had to manage it at that stage. But the important thing is this, and this is the point that Simon Hamilton has been making. You cannot delay making decisions about how you make adjustments within departments. And secondly, you've got to do everything you can to try and avoid unnecessary money being taken out, and that's one of the reasons why, of course, he's been hammering on about welfare reform and the payments there.
How quickly do these decisions need to be taken?
They need to be taken now, and I'll tell you for why.
Yeah, but what's now mean? Weeks, months, or tomorrow?
No, ministers, first of all, they knew that some of these things were coming because we've known the cost of welfare reform now for a considerable number of months. So ministers should have already been starting to make preparation within their departments as to how they were going to make reductions and what kinds of things they should be making reductions on, so that frontline services are not the ones that the first go to make those cuts. I imagine that the prudent ministers and the ones who are thinking ahead will have already a menu of things within their department where they know, look, we can make changes here. Some of them, of course, have been, and the Sinn Féin ones, have been burying their heads in the sand and pretending that there is no financial problem at all. They just keep on happily spending money. And that's where I think the problems are going to arise. And one of the reasons why I think the briefing was given by Simon Hamilton's department to the other departments was to try and get this message across. Because the longer you leave it...
Is this scare tactics, though? Is this trying to get Sinn Féin over the line in welfare reform?
No, it's not scare tactics. I mean, where the costs are have been well identified. The welfare costs have been well identified. The pressures that there are within Derry, within health, have all been well identified and other departments. Okay. So they've actually cost it out. But the longer you leave it, then the shorter period of time you have to make the adjustment. And that's why really decisions have to be made now so that those cuts are spread over.
But do you mean today or tomorrow? Do you mean this week?
Well, ministers should be making the savings now. They know they're going to have to make the savings in their departments. Okay. They know at least it's 4% savings, and it's easier to make those 4% savings over 8 months than it is over 2 months.
I don't understand the process, so help me with it. If Sinn Féin continue to say no, can the Treasury just stand in and essentially take over control of spending in Northern Ireland? How does that work?
No, I think what would happen is that it would become clear that there's going to be an overspend, and that the block grant is going to be breached. And at that stage, the Treasury could take action. Would they come in and take control of spending? No, but they would impose sanctions on us. And, you know, one of the sanctions, of course, that you could have is that it would simply say, right, you overspend this year, you get a penalty next year.
Well, the Belfast Telegraph this morning saying if the executive, I'm reading from the copy here written by Liam Clark, it says if the executive cannot agree swinging cuts, preferably tomorrow, then it will be spending on false projections and will overshoot its Treasury-imposed spending control limit. This is the amount of money granted to it by Westminster. Civil service accounting officers must effectively stop signing cheques if they see that happening.
Well, that's correct. I mean, the departments know that they can't breach their spending controls. They can't simply walk through them. And civil servants will be warning ministers, look, you cannot spend on those things because you keep on spending. And if
I'm trying to make this I'm trying to make this real, Sammy, right? As in what is the so we can all understand this. So does this mean that the top civil servants in Northern Ireland would simply stop paying bills, stop signing cheques?
Well, I think the first thing they would do is would say to a minister, look, you cannot keep on with the programme that you have here. What things are you going to cut to get you back within the spending?
And if the minister says, I'm cutting nothing, I can't. Like Edwin Poots said, well, he's axed now, but when he was in the job, when he said, I'm not doing it, what would happen?
Well, there's a consequence for a minister there, of course, as a minister in breach of the ministerial code. But I think that before you'd reach that situation, breaks would be put on within the department, and civil servants, senior civil servants, would be saying to ministers, "You cannot keep on with this. You really are going to have to look at how you're spending money."
There are 220,000 people working in the public service. So that's the likes of teachers and police officers. The civil service alone employs 24,000 people. Might they be facing significant redundancies?
Well, not this year. You simply couldn't put a redundancy programme in place before the end of this financial year. Because there's notice to be given, you would be looking at voluntary redundancy first of all, so you would have to do a trawl of departments to find out who is prepared to take a voluntary redundancy. And of course, don't forget that a redundancy programme itself is not necessarily going to save you money in the short run, because there are the redundancy costs which have to be built into that. So if you're going to face redundancies and a redundancy situation, you're probably looking at that more in the next financial year.
So if 6% cuts have to be made, and if the redundancies don't provide the short-term saving, then it's got to come out of spend, right? And that means a dramatic reduction, I presume, in public services.
Well, I'm telling you to put it in context. We spend £12,000 million. We're looking for savings of £200 million. We could halve that if we put welfare reform through tomorrow. So that would be one way of immediately dealing with the situation.
Yeah, we're still short another £100 million.
We're still short of another £100 million. That would be an adjustment which has to be made within the last 7 months of this year, and that will have an impact. But you know, there are ways in which those savings can be made.
Charge for water.
Again, Stephen, even that's not a short-term solution, because you would require legislation for that, and if that were the political decision, you'd be looking at 2 years.
Let me see what John O'Dowd makes of this from Sinn Féin. The Education Minister. Good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So, this is scary enough stuff, isn't it? 200 million or else London will step in.
Well, I'm not going to deal with speculation in newspapers or well-informed sources in newspapers or an agenda being set by somebody who's feeding information in newspapers.
Well, you must have got your executive papers for tomorrow.
Yeah, but I didn't give them to the Belfast Telegraph. Well, I signed up to...
Is it true or is it not?
...as a minister.
Is it true or is it not?
Yes, it is true. I didn't hand the papers over today.
No, is it true that 200 million or the Treasury will step in?
I did not discuss executive business with anyone other than the executive.
We'll take it as true then.
I have signed up to a code of conduct as a minister. Yeah. But
John, here's the reality. The news is out there, so what are you going to do about it?
The reality of it is this. Our budget is facing increasing pressures and has been doing so since 2009, 2010. Welfare is one of those pressures, and Sammy and Furniston has outlined that. The estimated figures that are in the ether of around 200 million, Sammy's already stated that over 100 million of that isn't related to prices, not related to welfare, but our prices are related to the fact that we are underfunded by the British government to the headline figures of billions of pounds. And in fact, since 2009, 2010, our block grant has not grown.
So what are you going to do about it?
We had £10 billion then. We have £10 billion in 2014.
What is Sinn Féin going to do about it to save people's jobs, to save our public services, to make sure that there is not a dramatic retraction in public services in this country?
Well, just over a week ago, there was a seismic shift in politics in these islands. The Scottish people went and voted, and it's in preparations for that vote. All the political parties in Britain made firm commitments that politics was going to change in terms of how devolution works, in terms of how powers work, in terms of how administration works. Just over a week ago, Peter Robson said that we require negotiations at the highest level in the society because, in his view, the institutions were unworkable. Now, I don't agree with him or not, but I do believe we require a high-level negotiation. So here we are, we're prepared to walk into negotiations with the British and Irish government. Politics in these islands has changed forever. And the DUP, unfortunately, have shown their hand. What their first call is before they walk into the negotiations is, let's turn round.
Okay.
Let's accept the fact that the British government are going to impose fines upon us. Instead of walking into those negotiations, and I think we can still do this, but we can agree on one thing, that the block grant is insufficient.
Go on, Sammy.
If it was £10 billion in 2009-10 and £10 billion in 2014-15, then it is insufficient. So let's agree on that point. Let's walk into those negotiations.
Okay, well, let's let you talk to each other.
Let me finish the point. Let's ensure that we join forces with both the Scottish Executive, the Welsh Executive, and growing voices in England that devolution has to change.
Okay.
And how our budgets are defined.
Okay, Sammy Wilson.
I mean, I really don't know whether people listening to John O'Dowd and other Sinn Féin spokesmen, when it comes to talking about the economy, really believe a word which comes out of their mouths. Let's just look at the situation.
Telling them to wise up isn't going to help.
Yes, well, because he does need to wise up. I mean, he thinks that somehow or other, because there's been a promise of additional powers to Scotland, that means that the British government at Westminster is going to hand over piles more money to Scotland. In fact, it's in the context of, let's look at the Barnett formula, because I think we're being too generous to regions. The second thing is, maybe, and I've heard this from Sinn Féin, well, we'll get our hands on the fiscal levers. We'll get more power over income tax and other taxes. Is John O'Dowd really telling us that the answer to the problem that we have here at the moment is to ask Westminster for example, income tax powers for Northern Ireland? And if so, how much does he want to put income tax up by to fill the deficit which is being created? And most part by Sinn Féin. I mean, for example, to pay for welfare reform, you'd have to put income tax up by 10%. Is that the kind of economic policy that Sinn Féin want?
John O'Dowd, you want to respond to that? Let's let John O'Dowd respond to this.
Well, I'm happy to have a sensible conversation with Sammy, and it is unfortunate because Sammy is a very intelligent and articulate individual that he has to resort to insult in relation to these matters. And we can have a sensible, reasoned debate about where the debate in Britain is taking us, where we need to be as a society moving forward. Because it is quite clear that the British government and the British political parties did not promise the Scottish people that they were going to reduce their Barnett formula ahead of a vote in independence. They promised the Scottish people significant positive change, not negative change, positive change. The Welsh government and the Welsh people are now watching that very closely. The regions of England are now watching that very closely, and we have to be involved in that debate. So,
these are long-term discussions you're talking about, John. I'm trying to get an understanding from you. as to what your party's strategy is to tackle this short-term issue, which is the clock is now ticking. What is the short-term strategy from Sinn Féin?
This short-term issue, Stephen, is a direct result of long-term economic policy towards this island.
Whatever has happened, we are where we are, John. We are where we are. You have a strategy. You have a paper. I will let you finish, but you have a paper sitting in front of you now that is telling you, presumably, that there will be Treasury intervention unless £200 million is found now. Now, what is Sinn Féin going to do?
Well, it's part of a long-term strategy by the British government to underfund this society, and we're going to create major inequalities. In terms of the executive that may have to be made tomorrow or in the future, we will scrutinise committee's policy presented this, line by line, and then we will upon it.
Well, it doesn't sound like you've got much time, John.
Well, Stephen, the time, with respect and to the Belfast Telegraph or to any other newspaper, other journalists, it will be...
Okay, we're starting to lose.
...presented before, have been scrutinised and being stood over, and we will make decisions...
Okay, we're starting to lose, John. We can't hear him. Go ahead, Sammy.
You know, Sinn Féin's solution seems to be, first of all, you enter into negotiations with the government. Now, don't forget, we have a problem which we've got to solve between now and the end of the year. The longer we leave it, the more painful it becomes. In fact, the more impossible it becomes, because you can't make £200 million worth of cuts in the last month of a budget. The longer you can spread those over, the easier it is to do. So there's no point in saying, well, let's wait and see what the outcome of negotiations about powers for devolution. The second thing is, even if it was, if additional powers were devolved, you still have painful choices to make. If you've got a gap and you take on extra tax powers, then do you dip further into people's pockets? And I don't believe that in the current situation where people's wages have been almost stagnant, that would be a feasible solution either. And the only option then is to work now to balance the budget that we have.
Okay.
And there's two ways of doing that. First of all, cut out unnecessary spending. And half of it is unnecessary spending because we're giving money back to Westminster we shouldn't be giving back. And the other thing then is to look at very closely at departmental budgets and say,
okay,
right, how can we make these changes between now and the end of the year?